Good morning, Summit. It's wonderful to be with you today. A number of years ago, I was going through a particularly difficult season in my life. And there were a number of very painful things that I was dealing with. And I would spend a lot of time running during that time. I wouldn't call myself a runner per se, but I was outside and moving, and it was a place where I could meet with God. And I remember that summer, I was out on a forest trail, and I thought about how wonderful it would be to see a deer, right? But I couldn't spot one. And then it became a bit of a thing for me, right? Every day I looked, but I could never come across one. And then I even started to pray that I would see one, but I kept coming up short. And then I started to really dig in on it. And all summer long, I would go out for these runs, and I would get so frustrated looking for a deer. And looking back on it, it does seem very clear to me that we weren't talking about a deer at all. This was about God. Where was he? And why wasn't he making right all those things that were going horribly wrong in my life? And I was rejected and bruised and hurt by his lack of interest in my heartache during that season. And this particular season it continued. It came around again on another summer, and as I went back running on those trails, as soon as I saw those trees, I was reminded of the deer that I had not yet seen, and I was instantly undone. I was furious, and I was empty, and I was angry, and this season of my life had been taking so long, and I screamed, "Where are you?" And then deep within my heart, I sensed the Lord say, "If you need to see, I can show you fields filled with deer or whatever your heart wants to see. But I'm trying to teach you that you don't need to see. Hope lies in what you can't see." I was stopped. I remember slowly walking back home and chewing on the implications of what the Lord had said to me, and I didn't once look for a deer. And I was thinking that over those years, God was trying to expand my vision, enlarge my thinking. In the middle of this messy and broken despair, God wanted to show me something beautiful and remarkable. And that's what we're looking at today. We're looking at meltdowns and miracles. In this sermon series, we've been looking at the Israelites as they wandered the wilderness, as they were being taken to the promised land in Canaan. And we're looking at what life is like in the wilderness and making those connections to our own life and the difficulties that we face in those desert experiences. So before we open the word together this morning, let's pray. Jesus, it is beautiful to come into your presence this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to gather in your name. We're hungry for you, Lord. And we pray that you give us now a spirit of understanding as we look at your truth and your word, that it would penetrate our hearts, God, that we would be wide open to receive more and more of you this day. So go before us in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we are picking it up in Numbers 11, and we are coming out of the Israelites complaining about their situation about food, and they're dumping on Moses, and Moses' response, starting in verse 11 through 32. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all of these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their ancestors? where can I get meat for all of these people? They keep wailing to me, give us meat to eat, but I can't carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me. If I found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin. I have to pause. This kind of reminds me of how I felt. You know, have you ever felt like this, like Moses, where he's stuck in the middle of something he just doesn't want to be in, and he's feeling completely inadequate and incapable of meeting the people's demands, and he prays this prayer of raw and utter honesty. And this is somebody who is close to the edge of emotional collapse. He can't carry this enormous weight any longer. And I think for each of us in our own lives, I think we can understand this kind of prayer that Moses gives. Right? Many of us have faced adversity that has taken us to the very edge, days so painful you don't even know how you're going to hold on. And I think especially in our current global condition, there are days that are just completely filled with relational difficulty or financial upheaval or work disorder or family strain. We're in the middle of a pandemic. And sometimes these things can make us feel like we're carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders. And life has left us just drained and tired and overwhelmed and crushed even by the responsibility of it all. And like Moses, we can say, I can't carry this anymore. Like Moses, we can say, this is too heavy for me. And friends, you know, if this is you, if this is the burden that you are carrying, the grief that you are carrying, the worry, the stress, the heaviness that is dragging you down, please know you are not abandoned in it. You are not alone. God shows us, starting at Numbers 11:16, he says, the Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come out to the tent of meeting, that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there. And I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you, so that you will not have to carry it alone. And tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed. If only we had meat to eat, we're better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat, and you will eat it. You will not just eat it for 1 day or 2 days or 5, 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him, saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? And I have to interrupt because this sounds so harsh, right? But you got to remember, the Lord is so frustrated with his people because they have been complaining against him and not trusting him. And God is going about disciplining them, right? But that's really another sermon. What we want to talk about here is how God is meeting Moses' needs, right? He finds a way to solve the leadership issue. He says that he's going to share it. He finds a way to feed the people the meat that they've been complaining to Moses about and bringing him down. God wants to help. He wants to care, and he wants to protect his people. And then continuing, we see Moses' response in verse 21. But Moses said, here I am among 600,000 men on foot, and you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month. Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them? And the Lord answered Moses, is a Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not what I say will come true for you. God immediately responds to alleviate Moses' needs and his heartache. And Moses pushes back on God's solution. And so God challenges Moses' thinking, and he says to him, you don't think I care about you? And then we see that God fulfills exactly what he said to Moses. Verse 24, so Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of the elders and had them stand around the tent. And then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him, and he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied. Now a wind went out from the Lord and drove quail in from the sea. It scattered them up to 2 cubits deep all around the camp, as far as a day's walk in any direction. All that day and night and all the next day, the people went out and gathered quail. No one gathered less than 10 homers, and they spread it all out around the camp. It was accomplished as God said it would be. Right? The words of his mouth do not return empty-handed. Right? The Lord demonstrated to Moses, he said that he would make a way and share the work. He said that he would feed the people for a whole month. And God displays this for Moses. He displays his proximity, right? That he is with his people and for his people always. He displays his provision for his people. God provides for every need. He displays his power. God is able to do exceedingly more than we could ever ask or ever imagine. And God said that he wanted Moses to see these things. And this gives me pause, because I wonder if God was trying to show Moses that he had a vision problem. And if that's so, I wonder if it's possible that we do too. One thing that I notice is that Moses looked at the wrong things. And we can see it in his prayer. Why are you treating me this way? What did I ever do to deserve this? Did I conceive these people? Was I their mother? Why is the responsibility on me? Why tell me to carry them around? Where am I supposed to get the meat for these people who are whining to me? I can't do this by myself. Is this how you intend to treat me? Do me a favor and kill me. I've seen enough, I've had enough, let me out of this. Moses talked all about himself. Right? He was the very center of his focus. And in many ways, this can be normal in a crisis, right? You go into self-preservation mode and you look inwards. But when you start only looking at yourself, looking at your circumstances from your perspective, it becomes a cycle of thinking that you get locked into and you can't break out of, right? The answers to our problems will only come in ways that we can understand. Solutions to the circumstances that we're in will only come in ways that we can conceive or that we can perceive. We end up reducing our lives to the capacity of our lives. It all depends on us. And no wonder we feel overwhelmed, right? Our solution will only be as good as our best thought. Our ability will only be as good as our own sufficiency. Mankind is limited. We have no way to supply. We can't control weather patterns, right? That feed as many people like that for a month. We can't heal a diseased body. We can't create a job opportunity. We are finite. We are created. We have limited capacity. And this means that we will be left discouraged. Right? When we look into, we will also feel alone. Because many of us live autonomous lives. Right? We're interested in deciding things for ourselves. We're dealing with issues on our own. We prefer an act out of a self-government. And then we're left depleted because we're trying to solve stuff that we were never meant to solve by ourselves. We were made to live in dependency on God and interdependency with one another. Right? We're needy. But instead of embracing our need, we try to go at it solo. And inside then, we start to carry all this weight. And it's to the point of exhaustion. We are tired. And because all we see is ourselves, right? And we don't have what it takes. And so then it leaves us feeling hopeless. And what God wants is to lead us out of the center of our own focus into the fullness of life in the kingdom. God wants to expand our vision. He wants to teach us the way that he wanted Moses to see. He wants our hearts to see all the possibilities that there are in the spiritual dimension. Right? The spiritual realm lies around us now. God's kingdom is not this faraway place that we go to after we die. It is present. It is parallel. Right? God invites us to perceive its reality. Our hearts should know his closeness. And in the same way that we engage in the physical world, by faith we believe and we operate in that which we cannot see. Right? God wants us to take our eyes off of ourselves and enlarge our vision to include his power and his possibility. It's easy to trust our physical world. Right? This is the only reality that's visible, and it's noisy and it's insistent. Right? It demonstrates itself in front of us all the time, and it assaults our senses, and it works to push back the invisible. And then what happens is we start to accept that is the only reality. But God invites us to grow our hearts, right? Not just what is seen, but into the unseen. God wants Moses to see. Right? God wanted me to know and to grow and to see, and God wants us to know as well. So I want to talk about three ways that we can do that. We rest, we release, we receive. So when you sense this internal weight that starts to take you down and you start to lose sight of hope and promise, there are three things that we can do. Rest, release, receive. Let me explain them. So when you find yourself at the end of yourself, the very first thing that we need to do is stop. We need to rest our hearts. And this is to still the striving. This is to cease our solving. This is to finish with the frantic. We need to rest our hearts. When we are overrun and at the ends of ourself, there is a desperation or an urgency, and it starts to flip us out. Our situations cause pressure on us, pressure for solutions, and then they scream at us for next steps. But we can choose not to see it that way. Right? Instead, the first thing that we do is not something we do actually at all. It's something that comes when we cease to do. Jesus in Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." In Christ's presence, there is breathing space. Right? When we lift our eyes off of ourselves and onto Christ, when we stop trying to solve and worry and do and come to him, there's rest. Right? It's pressing pause on the messiness of the outside world. And this gives us opportunity to share like Moses did in this prayer of raw, vulnerable, honest working through of all of our emotions. And there's opportunity to commune with Jesus, be with Jesus, sit in his presence. He's close and he's personal. Psalm 34:18 tells us the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Jesus understands our pain. Right? In the time that he was here, he experienced it all. And not sin, but everything else. Loss and anger and grief and hunger and loneliness. He sympathizes with us. He knows pain. He is our friend. And in our times of difficulty, he is right there with us, always, and near, and waiting. And we need to stop coming at things the way that we used to, and instead come to Jesus and lift our hearts to him. The very first thing that we need to do is stop our doing in the middle of our undoing. We need to rest our hearts in our relationship with God. And this moves us into the second thing that we need to do, which is release. This is letting go. This is surrender. This is humility. The second thing we need to do is release. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 tells us, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. There are so many times that we get this passage of scripture in reverse. Like we love the idea of throwing off what's weighing us down, but we don't love coming to God open-handed and humble first. Right? It's only in humility that we can give away. Right? We need to let go of our expectations, of our solutions. We need to release how we think that it was designed to be. We need to surrender solutions that we have created for ourselves. And for some of us, I think that this is the hardest work that we do. But in our problems, we need to put God where God should be and put us where we should be. And he's creator. We're created. You know, Jesus speaks and the wind and the waves obey. I speak and I can't even get my kids to listen. And this is the oldest battle. We want to rule our situation, but we can't. Yes, we have responsibilities in our circumstances, but not to control what happens. And this idea of not having control is so hard for us. Right, but we need to release those burdens that drag us down into the sovereign hands of God. Right? And humility will change our heart's perspective. We will see God as our source and our supply and our confidence. We don't need to struggle and strain and fight. We just need to depend and submit and let go. Relief comes to us when we accept ourselves for who we are and cease trying to be so powerful. And comfort comes to us when we see ourselves in right position to God and quit trying to control what is happening. We need to rest our hearts. And we need to release what's in our hearts. We need to submit. And then the last thing that we have to do is receive. We have to receive. And this is fullness. This is hope. This is trust. The last thing that we need to do is receive. You know, God's very nature gives. He pours out life and miracles and beauty, and we are recipients of God's most amazing blessings, right? His promises to us, his provision to us, his power, his possibilities. Look how God shows his heart to the Israelites, right? And look at all he gave to Moses, and it is the same for us, saying, God, we have everything we could ever need. In every burden, we can come to him for help. When we cry aloud, he answers, the psalmist declared. We're invited to draw close to the throne of grace, Hebrews tells us. Our Father in heaven longs to give good gifts to those who ask. We seek him and we find him. God invites us to shift our attention from what is seen to unseen. Right? Because that... You just can't hope in that which is seen because it is limited and it is failing. But hope is in what you cannot see because it is limitless and it is never ending. Right? And as we gaze at our problems with an earthly lens, what we're going to do is just bring God down in size. We're going to make him fit into what we know or what we can understand. And Moses demonstrates this when he starts to doubt that God can feed that many people. But God wants us to God-size our perspective, right? To live with acute spiritual perception and to see our circumstances in light of His power, His potential, His promises to us. Right? When I rely on myself, I deny myself His abundance, His miracles in my life. I can't be satisfied with what is seen. I need to move my eyes to Him, direct my heart to Christ, lift my mind and behold God. Right? Trusting in Him and receiving from Him, He is everything we could ever need. And God's solutions, sometimes though, aren't always going to look the way we want. Right? His ways are higher than our ways. And with Him there is mystery and wonder, and it is different, right? And answers might be unexpected. And I think we can sometimes struggle with that. Right? If we think about how God solved the food with the Israelites, right? They say they're hungry, God sends them manna. Manna means, what is it? That can be true for how He solves our needs too. Right? We say, God, I need strength, and He gives us a bigger obstacle. And we say, what is this, God? Or we say, God, I need patience. And then you find out that your teenager is doing drugs, and you say, God, what is this? And while we may tremble, we trust. Right? From Him we receive everything good that we would ever need to receive. He only gives good gifts. And God demonstrates Himself to Moses. Right? He's all-knowing and all-powerful and ever-present. He has no limits. He's perfection and holiness and love and mercy and righteousness. And He's immutable. It means He doesn't change. Right? He is constant and faithful. And this is our God too. Right? Our God who demonstrates His great love when he sent His Son to all those who might receive Jesus. And in receiving Jesus, we receive every blessing, every hope, all fullness, all power, the Holy Spirit in our lives every day, every moment, sustaining us life now, life to come. Christ in us, how we have received abundantly. The last thing that we do is we receive. When we are empty and life is threatening to undo us, may we rest our hearts on Him and release the burdens of our heart to Him and receive the fullness of His life for us. You know, last summer I happened to be back on that trail, and I was back out running again, and I hit a corner, and as I turned, there in front of me on the road was this beautiful deer. And I stood staring at it, and then I noticed that it wasn't the only one. There were more, all the way back as far as I could see into that forest. And God was making visible to me what He had been teaching my heart for years, right? That at the end of ourselves, He shows us His faith and His hope and His life. And may He continue to enlighten all of our hearts, that we would know the hope that He calls us to in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, I know that there are so many who are listening today that need lifting up, and how we pray for them this morning. We ask You that You would lift their eyes, that You would lift their hearts, that You would lift their heads. That You would turn Your gaze to them, that You would dry their tears, and that you would bring your comfort to their hearts. Jesus, you know that there are times that we face circumstances that are just overwhelming and impossible for us to overcome. But that's not so with you. For you overcame the grave. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. You are above all things, in all things, holding all things together. And we ask you that by your grace, that you would continue to teach the eyes of our heart to see the hope that we have in you, the strength that we have in you, the future that we have in you. Teach our hearts to rest in your presence, Jesus, to release the junk we should not be holding on to, and learn how to receive your abundant blessings, that we would open our hearts wide to you, for more of you, that we would grow deeper and deeper in you, Jesus. We thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.